Welcome back, everyone. Today is Thursday, September the 21st. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online, leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that.
And the verse of the day today comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes. This is one of those. Yes, you, dude. It just hypes me. It gets me hyped.
You got real animated at the end of that.
There's so much there. The author and finisher of our faith. Perfect. Yeah. Like one of the most apt descriptions of Christ as God,
yep,
who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That's just another one of those like you could spend entire sermons just on that. And then as a result has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I really believe, and I know Dr. Shah thinks this too, that Paul wrote this because it reads just like something Paul would write.
Yeah.
To just be lavishing all of this praise and just putting all this praise on Jesus' name. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. It means he's got everything under control. He's writing our story. The joy that was set before him, he understood he was on a mission. He understood all of this. He endured the cross, and now he has his reward.
That's right. That's right. It's so rich. It's so full. And that, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. That theology behind it is very reminiscent of Paul. It's very reminiscent of the way that he would write. Just that focus on Christ, that focus on this is where you're going. This is your goal. This is who you're looking to as you are running your race, as you are pursuing God. I mean, it helps to have that as a marker set before you.
Yeah.
You're crunching into the microphone. What are you eating?
Mm.
Okay.
David got me some paprika. I don't know if you can see it.
Paprika Pringles? Mm-hmm.
Paprika. Never seen this flavor before.
I've never heard of such.
He got me these from Greece. Hang on a second. I'm going to crunch it again so y'all can hear it.
Oh, no.
This is a good radio.
Oh, you made a large portion of our listeners uncomfortable. Dang.
So I've got a story about Hezekiah's tunnel that I want Dr. Shah to tell, but I want to tell when we were in, what's the name of that place? Masada or Masana? Not Masana. It was
Masada.
Masada in Israel. I'm there with David and I'm there with my wife,
sure,
who is by this point, this is near the end of the trip. By this point, the story Dr. Shah is going to tell has already happened. This is like near the end of the trip. Pringles are already a source of contention. People are, I mean, imagine being on a trip and people are upset due to these stacky chips.
Sure.
And I mean, like, it's gotten to the point where it's caused problems. And then I see in Masada honey mustard Pringles. And I say, oh my gosh, that's my favorite. And they don't even make those in America anymore. They don't sell them in America. I'm going to get them. And then Nicholas, who is our camera operator and our switcher here on the Clearview Today show, looks at me for no reason at all and goes, don't do that. And I was like, what? And he was like, just don't. Why would you do that? Don't do it. And I was like, it made me feel bad. And
how,
I was like,
wait a minute. How old was Nick at the time?
At the time, he was like 16.
How old are you?
How old are you right now, Nicholas?
I'm 20.
He's 20. We went in 2020. So he was 17. He was 17 years old. I was 27, 28. But then David was like getting into it because he was like, now he didn't want Nicholas to feel like he could tell me what to do. So there was like,
now it's a matter of principle.
Now it was like inner staff drama going on. Like Dr. Shah's, the story I'm going to have Dr. Shah tell had already happened with the Pringles. Now there's like inner staff drama going on around some Pringles. Do you remember that, David? Do you remember feeling like, You now have to buy the Pringles to show Nicholas you don't have to listen to
prove
him?
A point. It wasn't the fact that it wasn't the fact that you had to now listen to Nicholas. Like, I wasn't worried about that. It was just the fact that you wanted Pringles,
uh-huh,
and then because you were embarrassed, you didn't get them. I was like, dude, just get the Pringles. Don't be embarrassed.
To like, prove a Pringle point.
Yeah, and then I remember David was like, you know what? I'll buy the Pringles. And I was like, no, no. But I did. He embarrassed me and for no reason. He was just like, don't. He didn't say, like, they've already been a problem. He was just like, don't do it. You don't need honey
You've
mustard Pringles.
You've been reprimanded by your wife, huh? Rebecca, and my dad.
Yeah. And all of that was them. I'm going to have Passashad tell the story, but it just know that if you're traveling internationally, don't buy Pringles. They will destroy your relationships.
That's what I'm glad that, David, you didn't buy the Pringles until we were done in Greece. So we were like, that was it. We were leaving the next day, and then David bought Pringles.
I need to have Ellie come on and explain the whole Pringles thing in Hezekiah's Tunnel after Passashad does it.
Do not lead an international trip with Pringles. It will ruin it.
Dude, it caused so much chaos and drama.
I can't wait to hear the rest of that story. We're going to grab Dr. Shaw for that story in just a second. But if you guys have any questions or suggestions for new topics, let us know your favorite flavor of Pringles and how Pringles have ruined your trips.
Honey mustard.
Text us at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hey there, listeners. I'm John Galantis.
And I'm Ellie Galantis.
And we just want to take a quick second and talk to you about Dr. Shaw's and Nicole's book, 30 Days to a New Beginning, daily devotions to help you move forward.
You know, this is actually the second book in the 30 Days series, and the whole point of this devotional is to help us get unstuck from the ruts of life.
You know, when it comes to running the race of life, it matters how you start, but a bad start doesn't ultimately determine how you finish the race. You can have a good finish even with a bad start, and that's where this book comes in.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. Instead of going out and buying some gadget or some planner, like I know I've done several times.
I know that's right.
30 Days encourages you to find your fresh start in God's Word.
And life doesn't have a reset button, but our God is a God who does new things. His mercies are new every day, which means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
You can grab 30 Days to a New Beginning on Amazon.com. We're going to leave a link in the description box below. And if you already have the book, let us know what you think about it.
That's right. Send us a text, 252-582-5028. Share what God has done in your life through this devotional. Hey, maybe we'll even read your story on the air. Ellie, you ready to get back to the show?
Let's do it.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. If today's your first time ever joining us here on the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shaw is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshaw.com. Before we start, Dr. Shaw, can I interest you in a paprika Pringle?
Paprika Pringle.
David actually brought me these from Greece.
I saw when he bought them.
Really?
And I'm like, why? But it's for John. I'm like, really? You're going to take this all the way back to the United States on two different flights?
They're good. You want one?
No.
Maybe later?
Paprika Pringle.
You know what's funny is I was telling the guys this, and we talked about it a little bit on the intro, is that Pringles have almost ruined every trip that we've gone on. So we talked about it a little bit when we went in 2020, there was just Pringles everywhere, but I wanted to save it because I wanted you to tell the story about the Pringles in Hezekiah's Tunnel.
So we're coming out of Temple Mount, headed to the City of David, and the City of David is also connected to Hezekiah's Tunnel. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's all, the City of David is on the side of the hill. There's the Kidron Valley. Then you can see it going back up towards another side of Jerusalem. And then underneath, just everything that you're walking through has been chiseled out.
Right.
Wow.
So when you walk through the Hezekiah's Tunnel, you know that every piece of what you're walking in between had been touched and chiseled mm-hmm. by human hands mm-hmm. About, you know, think about it, 2,800 years ago.
Wow.
And is narrow. It's a narrow
tunnel. Narrow path, but it has so much significance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you hear this clangety clang sound.
Oh, no.
Through that tunnel. And so I'm like, what is that sound?
Because you're trying to enjoy the significance of where you are.
Yes, because we're all like, I mean, you cannot be like two people walking side by side. This is like you have to
very narrow.
Go behind each other.
Wow.
Because it gets narrow in places. But it's really cool. You feel like you're in Indiana Jones.
You do. You really do.
Yeah.
Except there's like so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So not so many, but it's 30, 40 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I hear this clink, clunk, clink, clong. I'm like, what is that sound? And then I look at John, who is like a couple of people ahead of me, and he has a whole bag of Pringles. Not just one, three. But I would say three there was different three. Cans inside this bag and tied. Uh-huh. And just hitting side to side of this beautiful, beautiful tunnel.
So I want to back up, and because that's true. Everything he said, 100%, it's factual. It happened.
Uh-huh.
At the start of the day, as we're going into the City of David, my bougie wife and his bougie daughter, Rebecca, go in there and buy tons of Pringles. They buy like five cans, and they eat two of them like on the way down. And so then they're like, and I got a can myself, but then they're like, let's get this bag, and we're just going to tie it to John's book bag. And I was like, hey, I've got camera equipment in there. I don't want it tied to my book bag. They're like, we're going to tie it. And so they tie it to my book bag. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to fight over Pringles. And then we can start going through Hezekiah's tunnel. And instantly, every time I turn, it's like, clong, clong, clong,
clink,
clong,
clink, clink,
clink. And Dr. Shaw's behind us. And he's like, think about where we are, guys. Like Hezekiah's men built this.
Clong,
this was
clong,
here. In,
clink, clong,
he's like, oh,
this, clong, clong.
What I'm saying is this was here in the clong, clong, clong.
And it's then, like a cowbell walking yeah, through the tunnel.
And then I'm like, all right, do I take responsibility or do I be like, no, this was Ellie. This was Rebecca and Ellie.
They sabotaged me. They put
They're
this on
way
my bag.
Up ahead. They're having fun. They're taking selfies and I'm back there.
So I didn't know whether
Pringles.
To get angry or upset or what, but I'm like, let's just get through this thing.
There's there's not been a trip where Pringles were involved that things didn't go south.
Oh,
instantly.
No. Yeah. Oh, no.
So,
but I love the paprika Pringles. I'm really enjoying them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw a couple of them in Greece. So the yeah. different they had regular flavors, but they also had different flavors like paprika. I think they had oregano, too. That's like kind of flavors that are off the beaten
path. That's
pepper.
Pretty cool.
Well, in today's episode, guys, we want to continue the conversation that we began yesterday on the practice of prayer. You know, we're talking about the importance of prayer in the life of the believer. What prayer is not, and how we need to approach this topic of prayer and our understanding of what it means in our lives.
Yeah. We kind of talked yesterday about how like people would stop in the street and just do it. They're like, oops, yeah. I'm running late. Well,
I guess everyone have to look at me while I pray. Yeah. Oh no. When that was their goal.
I wish this could have been avoided, but
yeah. For the benefit of our listeners, our viewers, we're going in depth in the context in which Jesus said that statement in Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Mm. So we spent some time digging in and understanding how the Amida, that daily prayer was practiced, how that Shemona Ezra, those 19 petitions were declared to God. And many times these folks were running late, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we don't know, mm-hmm. but they were running late and then they would stand at street corners and do this whole show mm-hmm. to be seen by people.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is calling them out and saying, I know what you're up to. Stop it. This is not how you display your spirituality. Your prayer should be your conversation with God as your Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. not a circus for people to admire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we often see people doing that kind of thing. Like it's a trope, like people will go, like aspiring writers, they'll go write in public in Starbucks and people will go do their selfies and do their TikToks in public mm-hmm. and be like a public, I don't want to say a public nuisance, but they'll go do it because they want people to see them.
Yeah.
And it's funny to look 2,000 years back and say human nature
nothing
has changed.
Yep. Yeah. Nothing has changed.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I do want to say one thing before we go further into this passage. That many times you will hear us talking about biblical passages or some issue, some topic, and it may seem like we're going on a tangent. Mm. It may seem like we just set off on a rabbit chase, but it's not. What we're doing here is kind of digging a deep foundation. Mm-hmm. The goal of our show is not just to talk about this topic and that topic or this passage and that passage. Our goal is to build a foundation that goes deep. So many times you'll see us or hear us kind of go off on mm-hmm. a tangent. Like here we were talking about how the Jewish people were practicing their prayer. And you may think like, well, I don't need to know about Shemona Ezra and Amida and all this stuff and walking three steps forward and three steps backwards. I mean, what's that got to do with this passage? Well, it has a lot to do with this passage mm-hmm. Because once you understand the context, then you can understand, oh, so these people were intentionally running late so they could stand on street corners and do their entire ritual, which should have been done in the synagogue if they had gotten there on time. Mm-hmm. So they're running late so they can be at the best crossroads and stand there and do this show so that they can be seen by people.
Yeah.
Wow. The hypocrisy of that.
Right.
But here's the point. We may not stand at street corners and do this, but don't we do this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We do this.
One of our hypocrisies, and I'm included in that list, many times people tell me, it's like, you step on my toes. I'm like, if you had any idea how much I'm stomping on my own, you would understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. But don't we do this when on social media somebody says, please pray for blah, 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 and we say, praying? Mm-hmm. I mean, my question really is, even to myself, did you really pray?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Continued prayers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praying. We'll keep you in prayer. Prayers. Are you really praying for that person, or are you telling them that I'm a praying person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even about making that person feel better. It's about telling them that you're the type of person that you can always come to. I want you to know that I'm the type of person that prays without having the burden of having to actually pray.
Yeah, it's such an easy cop out.
Oh,
yeah. One of the things that you've done, Dr. Sean, that I love and I've tried to start doing myself is instead of just commenting praying, you put praying right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, in your head, when you write praying, you can just kind of rationalize like, I'll be in a spirit of prayer for this person, whatever that means to you. But if you say praying right now and then you don't, like if I write that and then I don't stop praying right now, now I'm a liar.
Yeah.
Now I have actually told you something that is not true. So, and that's kind of like a gut check for me.
And something you've even among us that I really like is that you're like, you don't have to have this long diatribe. Like sometimes it's just God, please help me.
Yeah.
God, please help this person. And just coming to God in those moments and knowing that if I ask for it, it's going to happen.
Right.
Well, that's the second thing Jesus tells them in verse 7. This is Matthew 6:7. He says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. So we may not be heathens, but it's not much different than what we do even today.
Mm-hmm.
We mumble unnecessary words in prayer that add absolutely nothing to our conversation with God.
Yeah, like Christian nomenclature, buzzwords almost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like Christian buzzwords to where you know if I say this, I'm going to get a response out of somebody.
That's right. That's right. If I say these in the right sequence and use them enough times, then people are going to know that I'm hyper-spiritual.
We have a certain rhythm of praying, a certain way of praying. And I see people do that all the time. And I'm not here to tell them or say like, you are unspiritual or you're a hypocrite. Because I may not have the rhythm, but I may also be doing vain repetitions.
Mm-hmm.
Vain repetitions is not a certain rhythm or certain cadence of talking to God. It can be using words like, plead the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Plead the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. We don't talk like that.
Yeah. And or in Jesus' name. You know, these are just buzzwords, and they don't really add anything to our conversation with God. Imagine if your son sat with you and said, or if Noah talked to you that way, Father, the benevolent one.
What's wrong with you?
Distributor of cookies and treats galore.
Yes.
What do you want?
I plead treats, my Father.
I plead your treats over me.
And Father God. Father God?
Yeah.
Father God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Father God, and that you hear us, Father God.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just want to ask you, Father God, that you would, Father God, help us. And Father, I'm like,
it's kind
what
of
are you
revealing.
Doing?
It's revealing you, that you, this is your you, this is your anchor.
Yeah.
And you don't pray a lot.
Yep.
And so when you don't pray a lot, you do fall back on things that you feel like people expect you to say.
Yeah. Does it sound good?
Yeah.
And it gives you a sense of passion. I get it. When you have those kind of ways, it's almost like a batter up on the batting mound, right? And they begin to kind of, you know, twirl that bat. So that's what we're doing here. It's like twirling it so we can get as much maximum power to hit that ball out of the stadium.
It's, yeah.
But that's not how prayer is.
Yeah, it's like someone asks you to pray, and it's like, all right, I got to wring this out for all it's worth. Like, I've got this spongy
rhythm.
Mop.
Like, I'm going to scroll this.
Wring it all out. Just get all that prairie goodness out.
Prairie goodness.
Yeah, until it's like, all right, it's depleted.
It's all the cream filling.
I'm done, yeah.
But vain repetitions can also be repeating the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Or the doxology or the Apostles' Creed. This is also part of vain repetition because you're no longer thinking of what you're saying, but you're saying it and you think that if I say it, then I mean it, and then it gives me all the spiritual value I need as long as I get it done. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the idea behind rosaries or counting the beads. That's what people are doing. It's like, I'm not thinking about it, but as long as I am almost by rote memory or by this sense of routine or ritual, I'm doing this, counting the beads, that it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about it. It's happening.
Right.
But I'm sorry, if your kids did that with you, if Noah came up to you or Gavin came up to you, and let's say he had this little rope tied to a stick and he just kept twirling it around, around you, what would you say? It's like, hey, stop that. You're going to hit me.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, this is me talking to you.
Yeah.
Just pretend like these are words coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
You're like, that's annoying.
Why don't you just talk to me?
Why don't you just talk to me? I'm right here.
Tell me what you want. It's one of those things where it's like, if I memorize it, it's kind of like the national anthem. Like, all I have to do is memorize it. Yeah. And then I say it. I know it. It's like, but I'm not thinking
about it.
But
do I mean it?
Like even with the national anthem, like, or like the, what is it that you do with the
Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. Right. It's like, I'm saying the words. I know these words.
Yep.
But they no longer hold that weight for me that they did because they're words. It's a rhythm. I can say the Pledge of Allegiance and check out mentally.
Yep.
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 And so Jesus says here, for your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So the whole point is this: prayer is family talk. It's a child talking to his or her heavenly Father. It's a loving conversation. You cannot fake it.
That's right.
Not try to show off. Neither can you use vain repetitions. Mm-hmm. It has to be a conversation where you feel what you're talking about, where you stop and listen, where you are corrected or where you are affirmed. This is all part of the conversation. So I hope our listeners, our viewers are understanding this, that Jesus was calling those people out, but in a sense, he's calling us out because we also use vain repetition. But something else here. In verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Now, here comes the Lord's Prayer or the Pater Noster.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with, what does it begin with?
Our Father.
Our Father. Our Father in heaven, which means it is a conversation with God as our Father.
Mm.
All right? And this prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, really the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is, I believe, the one in John, right? John 17, I believe. But the one here in Matthew 6, and then again a shorter version in Luke 11, they are more about the disciples' prayer. Because in Luke, the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And so in response to that, Jesus gave them the prayer.
Yeah. How do you respond to people who are like, see, he gave them his prayer. Jesus commanded us to pray like this, so we should just recite it. Like when they use that almost as an excuse to just recite that prayer. Because I've definitely had people even ask me, like, why don't we do it in the church? Why don't we just say the Lord's Prayer? Jesus said to do it.
Yeah.
Like, nothing I can say is going to be better than what he said to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, he gave it as a model. In this manner, therefore, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was not like, this is what you should pray. In this manner.
This is the script.
This is the, almost like the template.
Mm-hmm.
That should guide your prayer life. And how does it begin? Our Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Means God is our Father, our Creator, our Superior, our Redeemer. Hallowed be your name. In other words, God's names are his character and his work in our lives. He will hallow his name. But how about in my own life? Will I hallow his name?
Mm-hmm.
Will I glorify his name?
Mm-hmm.
So hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. It is a sovereign, eternal rule of God over his world.
That's right.
And we're praying that that kingdom will come. And it begins in our hearts when we are saved. And it will be completed or consummated when Jesus comes again.
I find it very interesting that the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is not asking for things.
Yes.
It's not, God, would you give me this? Or God, would you do this? Or God, would you heal this? Right. It's, God, you are great.
Yes.
And let your will be done.
That has stuck with me through the years. I think I heard that sermon you preached like years and years and years ago, is that he starts it the way he starts it for a reason. And right. Even to this day, I always think about that when I go to God in prayers, to start on the right foot. Mm-hmm. Not because he requires it as his rule, but because it puts my heart and my mind in the right place.
That's right.
Yeah. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a revealed will, what God expects, and a secret will, what God is up to. So here the prayer is for the secret will. It's not like this is how you should behave. This is more about this is what I'm doing. And we're praying and saying, God, please do it here.
Right.
Let it begin in my heart. So your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In my life, as you're doing it in this world, in the heavenlies. Mm. Now we will look at the next three lines, and they're known as the we petitions, because it's all about
for
we.
Us.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So they're all the we petitions.
But I like that. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what I'm saying? This thing where it's almost, I think we said this yesterday, it's expected that we're going to do this every day.
And it's a callback to the manna in the wilderness. I mean, the Israelites getting what they needed from God for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to store up and hang on to and you know, furiously try to bury stuff in the sand, but trusting God that he will meet your needs for that day.
That's right.
Just in case God doesn't come through tomorrow, let me go ahead and save this for save these prayers and these blessings for a rainy day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just to clarify, if you remember what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
The bread is not just physical bread, like a loaf of bread or a bagel or donut or an English muffin. This bread is also spiritual.
That's right.
That's true. Very, very true.
So give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our debts as we forgive our
debtors.
So I would say this is probably the hardest line in the disciples' prayer.
Yeah, because I'm worthy of being forgiven, but people who have wronged me, I feel like they're not.
No, they deserve justice. I deserve forgiveness. Yeah, they deserve justice.
Well, because I'm not that bad of a guy. So, right. I mean, the Lord kind of understands, you know, what I was going through at the time.
Yeah. Right.
They have no excuse.
Yeah.
Well, Ian Bounds said it this way. He said, A heart all love, a heart that holds even its enemies in loving contemplation and prayerful concern, a heart from which all bitterness, revenge, and envy are purged, how rare.
Mm.
Yet this is the only condition of mind and heart in which a man can expect to command the power of prayer.
That's true. Yeah. You said something once. I know we've said it on the podcast too, but I think it's so much easier for us to accept God's mercy because it didn't cost me anything at all. God paid the price for that. Christ paid the price for that. For me to forgive my enemies, that's going to cost me. And I'm not about that at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's really shaped my way of thinking, especially about mercy, is that my mercy is not really mercy. It's just ignoring sin.
Yeah. Well, in a sense, self-preservation.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it doesn't cost me anything.
Yep. Just protect myself, keep myself out of the limelight, mind my own business, have my own happiness. You can do whatever you want to do. And that's not how God wants us to live.
No, not at all.
And then here comes the next line, which is do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So even though God allows us to go through trials to purify and humble us, he wants us to become, to come to him as a child to his or her father and plead for mercy and grace to help in time of need.
That's right.
But then the final line, which is coming out of Matthew, not in Luke, but in Matthew, and yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's like powerful bookends, to start and end on the right foot.
Yeah, you are the creator, you are the sustainer. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, or if you want to learn more suggestions about your prayer life, things you can do to grow closer to God in that way, send us a text and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. You can partner with us financially on that same website. Click that Donate Now button and become part of our Clearview Today Show family, impacting the nations with the gospel of Jesus. We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clearview Today.